Good morning once again. Let's pray together as we begin this morning. Father, I want to thank you for your presence among us today. Thanks that you're always with us, God, always loving and leading and guiding and directing. Father, thanks for knowing our incredible need for you. So much more than we know, we need you ourselves. Father, your patience is so good, and your love is life. Thanks for the time we could be together this morning. Thanks for Sean, his heart to lead us in worship to you, Father. And we know that you've moved his heart, and you're moving ours through the worship today. And now, Lord, we pray that you would encourage us through your word. Pray that you would build hope and excitement in your reign and our lives. We praise you for that, God, and pray that as we go through this time that Spirit, that you would lead us and that we wouldn't be doing this on our own. Father, I could put a lot of people to sleep fast without you. So I just pray that you would be strong today and this time. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So the kingdom of heaven is like wonderful, wonderful things as we've talked very often here lately about. And this morning I want to tell you that the kingdom of heaven is like this. Your king supplies all your needs. The kingdom of heaven, the king who reigns over the kingdom of heaven, supplies all the needs of those who are entrusted to him and who trust him. That's some big words right there. That could be pretty exciting, right? I mean, who wouldn't serve a king who would provide everything they need? Well, I want to tell you, smile. Breathe deep. You have a king who will supply all your needs. You're pretty jacked up over that one, aren't you? I mean, looking out over the crowd. I'm like, that's pretty exciting news, obviously. A few head nods. Everybody shake a little bit. Come on. The kingdom of heaven, the king that reigns over you, he will supply all your needs. Yeah, that's what I want to hear over here. Who said, ooh, and someone said amen. That's what we're supposed to be talking about here. Your God will supply all your needs. That's a big, 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 big deal. Now, of course, there's some, I didn't say everything you want. Strawberry cheesecake, I don't know how that's going for lunch today. But your needs, I know he makes the promise to us. If we have the first scripture, Matt, we'll move on in that direction. Listen, in Philippians 4, verse 19, Paul tells us this, and this is powerful. He just says straight up, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." My God will meet all your needs. My God will meet all your needs in accordance with his riches, the riches in his glory in Christ Jesus. That's powerful news. It is. It's really, 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 really good news. I don't know what I expect. I don't want anyone up here dancing or anything. I just thought maybe we could stay awake when we heard that news right there. So listen to the deal. Of course, there are prerequisites, right? Of course, there is relationship that is not written in that one verse that is written right before. So listen to what it says. Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed," and this is for beginning of verse 10, "indeed you have been concerned, but you have not had opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Amen. "Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be accredited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied, Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you've checked yourself lately, but this scripture is to you, and you do this stuff that Paul's writing about here. You helped me in the gospel. You gave to me when I was in need. I looked around one day and someone was just bringing money to it. Well, where was he coming from? It's not every time. It wasn't like Paul asked every time. They're constantly sending hope and help to him. And that's powerful. And he says to them, and my God's going to meet your needs. He sees you and he's going to do that. And Sunshine, I'm telling you this morning, these are you. Those people, they're you. You're such good givers. You have such a right heart. You want to give, and you do give. And people aren't always on the phone hammering, we need some money, would you please send it? You listen, and you hear the call, and you give. And I'm telling you, God is waiting to bless you. He desires to bless you. He says he will bless you. He loves to do it. You're his kids. Isn't that cool? And maybe we don't fully understand that. We're thinking money. I need to give more money. I'm not talking about filling the suggestion boxes back. I mean the offering boxes back there. Those are definitely not suggestion boxes, especially not about this sermon, okay? No suggestions, please. The offering boxes in the back, that's not about that. It's deeper than that. Next slide, please. Listen to this one. It was a scripture reading this morning. In, if you will, commentary of using scripture to explain scripture a little more here, starting in verse 25, we'll get to 33 in a minute. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you can add a single hour to his life? He's getting across something pretty important here, okay? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, you can say it with me, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I see mouths not moving. And all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God. You gave. You sent me help. Epaphroditus came bringing even more gifts, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're worried about your clothes being in fashion. You're worried about what you're going to eat today. You're worried about where you're going to live. Listen. My God will meet all your needs. It's really that big a deal. He really can do these things. Let's try again. John 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. You gave, Philippians. You gave, Sunshine. My God will meet all your needs. Don't worry about all that stuff. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll add it all to you. Oh, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you hear the call? You have a Father who will give you all your needs. I don't know how. I know that he makes promises that we never call him on. He says things that we never say. You said this because we don't have the faith that he really, really, really meant it. He said, if you are my child and this kingdom is that big a deal to you, I'll give you what you need. How? Well, my part is this. I want to be a giver to all that God desires me to give to. And I want to be one who's not worried about everything, but the kingdom is the first thing in my life. These are, yes, prerequisites for those blessings. Not because God's holding out on us. He wants us all in. He wants us all in on this thing. Because those who are in the kingdom and who have said, you reign over me, he's got your back. He's watching out for you. He's looking out for you. Those are the ones who are blessed even in great times of struggle. He's providing for them. And I don't know the ways. This stuff is so mysterious with God. He's just good. He's really, really, really good. And there are examples. We could go through the crowd and hold microphones in people's faces. And they could say wonderful things about how God's provided when it just seemed like nothing was going to work out. In the Message, Philippians 4:19 says it like this. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours out from Jesus. Our God and Father abounds in glory that just pours out into eternity. Yes. I love those yeses he throws in there. And then in 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant or put their faith in wealth or their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There's some bold statements in Scripture, aren't there? I mean, there's some big stuff. What do I do with that? He says he gives us everything for our enjoyment. He'll give you everything you need. What do you worry about? What you're going to eat or drink or your body, what you're wearing? The pagans are after all these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, all those things you need, he'll give to you. And if we had to tell the truth here today, which we like to tell the truth, I mean, it's not just our needs he gives us. He even sometimes gives us our wants, doesn't he? Who of you fathers, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? Though you are evil, do these things. But your Father, how much more will he give good gifts to those who ask him? That's powerful. That's big stuff. That's what he's calling us to. So here's what I want to do just for a few moments here, and then we're going to get out of here and start living some of this, or I'm going to try to anyway. He tells us some things in this passage in Philippians 4:19. Yes, he's talking about where he wants us to be. He wants me to be generous. He wants me to care about people with my money. But it isn't just my money. Because on over back in Matthew, he's saying, don't worry about all this stuff. Seek the kingdom. And in seeking the kingdom, it's all of me, really, is what he's calling me to. He's calling me to all in, appointed you to bear fruit that will last. Only can, with God's Spirit in me, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Only with the Spirit working in me can I bear fruit. Seek first the kingdom of God. And when I'm there, I'm bearing this fruit that will last. He says, and you can ask anything in my name. Anything in my name. So I hear my part in this. What's his part? He'll meet all my needs. What's that mean? Well, let's just start here. Let's break this verse down just for a moment. Here's what I have to get to really start grabbing this promise. He is my God. When Paul says, my God will meet all your needs, it was a personal statement. My God. He's not some God that I don't know, some God that I've studied from a distance, some God I got this head knowledge of, but I don't know anything about how he works or who he is. He's my God. He made himself known to me. I get him. We are friends. I no longer call you slaves because a slave doesn't know his master's business. I call you friend. He's mine. He's my God. So I can say a little something about him. He's mine. He is yours. This is a personal deal. Yes, it's corporate. Yes, it's worldwide. But it is you and me and him. It's you and him. Keep me out of it. He wants you face to face, nose to nose. What do you need? You tell him, he goes, I know that already. He already knows what you need. Why are we so strange or so awkward with this situation so often? He's my God, mine. He's yours and yours alone. And in saying this, he's calling us to a knowledge. In John 17:3, the scripture says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Hear what he's saying, that they may know you. Know like husband and wife. Know like best friends. Know like people in deep, deep relationship. You don't have to stand at a distance and wonder what God's thinking. He made things known to us. We get to know him. We can know his very heart. Yes, not everything. Our minds would probably explode, for sure. But we can know him, and we can know him well, and he wants us to. So it's very personal, this call. My God will meet all your needs. You're not hoping on some stranger. You're not hoping for someone who's going to hopefully come through one day. He's saying, my God, your God, he's the one looking out for you. And then in the next comment that he makes here, if you would press on Matthew, he says, back one, are we out of line here, out of order? Go forward one or two, back two. You're doing very well, Simon says. Another one. Anyway, we'll just go there. My God will supply all your needs. This is the another part we've got to get. This my God, he's mine. He's personal to me. And he will supply all my needs. This is important. In Genesis 22, when Abraham has been called to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, Isaac, as they're walking up the mountain, says to him, Father, we have the fire and we have the wood. Where is the sacrifice? And Moses pretty much just said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will supply. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Listen, guys, this one drives me a little crazy. He's climbing a mountain to sacrifice his son. We've got the wood and we've got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? How does he know? I mean, he knows that he's going to go through with this if he has to go through with it. But he also knows the Lord will make good on his promises. I don't have that kind of faith. But this kind of stuff is supposed to stir us. When God says, I will meet your needs, we're supposed to get Jehovah Jireh. Moses is walking up, or Abraham's walking up the mountain, and he doesn't know what's going to happen next, but he's going to do what God has asked him to do. And when he pulls the knife back, and his son's on the altar, and he's going to take his life for God, the angel stops him in motion. There was none of this. Did he fumble backwards, or was he going through and it was an incomplete pass? He really, really was coming through to kill his son. Wait. Now that I see, you wouldn't withhold your son, your only son, from me. I'm first with you. Ahead of your spouse, ahead of your child, I'm first with you. It's okay. And then he hears a noise. And over in the thicket is a ram. He's caught his horns. How fortunate. He just happened to be looking for food. No, Jehovah Jireh. There's a lamb, or there's a ram, and he is sacrificed in place of Isaac. What is it? What is it you need? If he's first, I mean first, I'm giving it all up. This treasure in the field is too great for me to hold anything back on. He will provide all my needs. It's not that he's saying some of my needs. See, we sell them out early. He's called us to faith. According to your faith shall it be done to you. Jesus said that several times. And often we say, well, this isn't a big enough deal. I'll just leave it alone and work really hard for this one. And if I don't get it, we'll just suffer. Or you could ask God. I don't know. He probably doesn't get involved in this kind of stuff. And I'll just leave it alone. Or you could ask and really believe it. Because you're those people. You put it on the line for the Lord. You love him. He's first to you. And he doesn't say most of your needs. Not some, not most. He says all of your needs. He's not promising to give me everything I want, but he is promising me all my needs. The Israelites, they before they were even growing, they were in a famine, and he provided the story of, if you've read the story of Joseph, he provided for them through Joseph to be fed, to keep the remnant going. And then after slavery, he sends the plagues, and they're sent out, driven out of town with great wealth. They come to the sea. The Lord parts the sea. They're hungry and gripey in the wilderness. He gives them manna. They get thirsty. Moses strikes a stone, and water comes forth. When they're wandering in the desert, because they have grumbled and complained and they don't get to enter the promised land. Even in their discipline, he fed them and their shoes never wore out. Their sandals never wore out. He still took care of them in all their discipline. 40 years till they all died. And he still provided for them. This is the God he's talking about. My God will meet all my needs. This is a big deal. This isn't a sleeper. This is a big, big deal. He'll meet all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Next slide, please. According to his riches. It'd be interesting to check out all of our bank statements and our retirement savings and our net worth and then pile it all together here and watch God laugh. He didn't say according to my riches. That's a mockery, okay? He didn't say according to my riches. He didn't say according to the world's riches. Call up Bill Gates, Donald Trump, lots of great wealth, Rockefellers, you name it, put them all together, even King Solomon, not according to those riches, but according to his riches. See, all of that stuff that they're able to do all came from him anyway. Our struggle with our trusting God tends to often come from what that I become dependent on what he's already given me. See, my ability to provide for my family, whether I can or can't, I have an ability to do it. Whether I do or don't, I have the ability to do it. And all the brilliance about me, in whatever avenue you speak of, the great abilities that God has given me and you, from the very beginning were given from him. When you get your paycheck at the end of the week, or it goes into your account every 2 weeks, or however you get your pay, that pay is from him. Your ability to do what you don't even know to do, your brain starts functioning, or it keeps functioning day and night, day and night. You get up, you go to work, you're brilliant, you're amazing, you're kind to people, you're nice to people, you teach, or you work, or you do. Whatever your job is, all of those things came from him. Your ability to breathe in and out and see and hear and smell and taste and touch, everything you have, all was a gift from God. Everything came from him. Those are his riches too, you see. Those are his riches too. He's providing your needs already. He's providing my needs already. He's amazing in what he does. There's a great story of the Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm sure you've all heard it, and so I will bore you to tears with it once again. Briefly, Dallas Theological Seminary suffering great difficulty financially. True story, several years ago. I'm guessing 70, 80, something like that. It was early stages. And they were going to have to close the seminary. And so they had a meeting, and the decision was however long it took, they knew with the creditors, they knew with the people they owed. This was to settle how they were going to take care of it. And they had the bill for what they needed. And so when this Dr. Schaefer called this meeting together, they all went around the table and they're praying for God to somehow take care of them. And the story goes that as they're praying about this urgent financial need, Dr. Harry Ironside opens his Bible when it's his turn to pray, and he turns to Psalm 50, verse 10, and prayed, "Lord, we know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those and give us the money." And as they're praying behind closed doors, a Texas cattleman stepped into the seminary's business office and said, "I just sold several loads of cattle in Fort Worth. And for some unknown reason, I feel compelled to bring the money here and just sign the check over to you." And promptly she walks into the place where the faculty's gathered praying and knocks on the door and timidly walks in and shows them the check. And the check is for the exact amount of money that they needed. And then Dr. Ironside says to Harry, the man who had called this together, "I guess your God just sold some of his cattle. It's all his. Always has been. All of it. It might just be that we don't not hold him to as if we are the strong ones, but hold him to in our faith. Call it out. You said, I know I'm lousy at this thing, but I've put all my hope in you." I don't know who wrote this, but they wrote, "It doesn't matter what our insufficiency may be, we must acknowledge that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and that we can do nothing without his sufficiency and supply." And part of claiming these promises is the very first beatitude, right? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then the last one. In Christ. What does this one mean? Man, I've read so many folks that are so confused about this. Some say it's eternal. And some say it's because of what he's done for us. And others say, I don't have a clue why he threw in Christ in there. Jesus, on the cross, for all of us, gained entrance into the kingdom of heaven for us. His promises are amazing, and so as he calls us into life with him, my belief fully is that he just says clearly that it's because of Christ, it's because of him that you have this hope, it's because of him that you have this opportunity to be in the kingdom of heaven. And so just to share a couple of thoughts here on this, the promise it refers to the present life he's calling us to. When a lot of folks read this, the first thought they think of is the heavenlies. When we go home one day, then all these promises are going to be met. And yes, I agree, in heaven, all of our needs will be met. But Paul's not talking about this in Philippians 4. He's talking about the here and now, God supplying all my needs in Christ. And so I just want to share with you this morning that don't just think that one day God's going to meet my needs and push this promise back to heaven. The call is right now. Right now, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. God knows what you need. He knows what I need. He's the good parent. I'm not a good father, and I would do anything for my daughter. But he is the good father. And he says, how much more will he not give to you? And so I want to encourage you today, this is you. When Paul's writing to the Philippians, he's writing to you. You're the good givers. You're the lovers of God. You're the ones who are putting him first and teaching your children about him. And he's telling you something you really, 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 really want to know. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches that are in Christ Jesus. Call him. Grab him. Take him and run. Take him and hang out a while. Just don't ignore that he has a great desire to supply you with all of your needs. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we praise you. And God, I pray today for a faith that really believes what you say in your word. Father, we get so caught up with this stuff. Yeah, but. Okay, but check this out. Or whatever the struggles we have, Lord, with just hearing you and believing what you're saying. And I pray today that we truly, truly believe that you desire and have the ability to meet all of our needs according to your great riches, not our riches. We love you and we praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. There was a man who was very wealthy, and he was going to die, and the Lord let him know that ahead of time. And so he said, I really want to bring some of my wealth to heaven. And he said, you know, it doesn't work like that. You can't do that. Nothing on earth compares to heaven, so just come on when you're called. And he pleaded a few times, and finally, okay, you can bring one suitcase full of your wealth. And so he got all of his stuff together, and he went and bought a bunch of gold bars. And he stuffed the suitcase full of gold bars and set it by his bed so when the Lord called him home, he would have it with him. And sure enough, he shows up in heaven with his suitcase. And the angel at the gate meets him and says, hey, you can't bring that in. Listen, I've been talking with the Lord about this. And he said, I can bring a suitcase. Really? So he goes and checks and comes back, and he says, okay, he said, you can come in, but I'm just interested. What on earth was such a big deal that you would bring it to heaven? And he said, can I peek in the suitcase? He said, sure. He lifts it up and sets it on the bar, and he opens it, and he says, pavement? You brought pavement? Gold streets paved with... Okay. It's a sleepy day now. So here's the thing. According to his riches, not this stuff that we call wealth. Whatever you desire, if you need to respond, come and give your life to Jesus. There'll be two men on either side, or great elders. They'll immerse you into him. Or if you need us to pray with you, they'll be